The following podcast is brought to you by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. You know, I was there yesterday and we had a fabulous round of golf despite the threat of rain. You know what they say? They say it's going to rain. It never rains when you're on the golf course, at least not when I'm at Crosswinds. You know, Crosswinds also offers beautiful views of the Niagara Escarpment. No matter where you are on the golf course, you can look up, you can see the splendor and majesty and beauty of Rattlesnake Point or Mount Nemo off in the distance. Absolutely beautiful. The course is always in tip-top shape, and the people at Crosswinds are always there to tend to your needs. You would think it's a private golf club, but no, it's public and very reasonably priced. Check it out for yourself. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online now. And don't forget to tell them that Hebsy sent you. Now, Mike, let's start the podcast. Live from Toronto, it's Hebsy on Sports, episode number 245. Thanks for allowing me to get here. If you would have told me at the beginning, hey, you're going to do a 245 podcast, what are you, nuts? Get the fuck out of here. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Mark Hepscher. Welcome to the show. It's been a busy week. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a fabulous weekend. August is going to be spectacular. September is going to be even better. By Christmas, we will be out of the fourth wave. That's my prediction. By Christmas, we'll be out of the fourth wave, and there will not be a fifth wave. Joining me, as always, on the show from the mothership in New Toronto, the aptly named Toronto Mike. Not to be confused with New Toronto Mike. Some upstart somewhere. Today, we're going to talk about the Blue Jays scuffling along in Southern California after splitting their series with the Halos. They still trail the Yankees and Oakland and Boston for the final wild card spot. And speaking of the Bronx Bombers, they lost a wild one in Iowa on a walk-off home run in a fucking cornfield. Yes, that's right. The movie Field of Dreams was the inspiration. Blah, 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 blech. It does not make my list of top baseball movies, not the top 10, not the top 15, whoa, not the top 20. Wow. It's too schmaltzy for my liking. Wow. The book was better. We're going to talk about that and maybe your favorite movies. And you can explain to me why you think Field of Dreams is a great movie. Great baseball movie. Yeah, I get it. You had a tear, but come on. And now the theme is, let's have a baseball game. And next year, it's going to be based on the movie Major League. And the year after that, based on the movie Bull Durham. And the year after that, based on the movie The Natural. And so on and so on. I can hardly wait till they replicate the Bad News Bears. The original.
Right.
With Walter Matthau. Tatum O'Neill. You're not this schlocky one with what's his fucking name? That guy, Billy Bob Thornton. Right off. No Canadians left to challenge for either of the National Bank Open tennis titles, which are being played here in Canada, after Bianca Andreescu got beat by a Tunisian woman whose cheering section was louder than the entire rest of the audience there in Montreal, which is in Canada, supposedly cheering for the Canadian star. No, they let these people cheer wildly and disrupt Bianca Andreescu's play. I'm pissed. You should be ashamed of yourselves, all of you in Montreal. That would never happen in Toronto. I would have stood up to these Tunisians and say, you shut the fuck up while she's tossing her ball for the serve. Okay? You shut the fuck up when she double faults. You don't cheer for her double fault. Not in Montreal. Ever. Right, calm down, Hebsy. Lots of other tennis news to talk about. We'll take a look at tonight's quarterfinals. I'll be going, as a matter of fact. I'm going to be there tonight to watch the men.
Wow. Awesome.
Damn right.
Good for you.
There are no Canadians, though. We're going to talk golf as well, and we'll talk about how those on social media quickly become judge, jury, and executioner, even before all the facts are presented. Can you say knee-jerk reaction? What was that guy yelling at the baseball game? Dinger! 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 That's exactly what he was yelling. Dinger! The name of the mascot is Dinger. But no, 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 no. How could the Colorado Rockies allow this to happen? When I first heard it, the first thing I thought of was nobody would be stupid enough, nobody, to yell that word out in public in front of 35,000 people. But no, no, no. Listen, I heard it.
He went hard on the G in Dinger.
Didn't go hard. That's how you say
like,
it.
Like we say
it's
Dinger.
It's like the Zapruder film, Mike.
Let's we say frame Dinger. By frame. This Come guy on. Says Dinger, right? He goes hard on that G. It's an interesting way to say Dinger. Dinger.
Oh, you're nuts. You're absolutely nuts.
I missed the whole story.
If you
story
ever
until
thought
it was over.
That this guy or anybody, when they said the name of the mascot, Right. Could have possibly had it mistakenly. Someone thought, oh, did he just say what I thought he said? No.
We're all hypersensitive in this day and age, Hebsy, but
let's change the name of the mascot. No.
Oh,
no, no, no. You don't do that.
Dinger means home run. Better, that's, right, a, that's a good name, actually, Dinger, for let's a mascot. Better. Right.
All right, what's going on with you, Mike? Toronto, hey, Mike?
I'm good.
Podcast star?
I want to say hi to the people on your YouTube channel, because those who are listening to the podcast, and that's convenient for people who go for a run, or they go for a walk, or they go for a bike ride, or maybe they're just working and they got you on the background.
Rollerblade, skateboarding.
What else can they do? Pickleball? I don't know. But Gordon Enright, Gene Velitis, Wayne Brown, Moose Grumpy, I. Sinclair Russell, Steve Green, Philip Blanchet, or is it Blanchard? I'm going to say Blanchet. It sounds better that way. These are all
from Eastern Ontario.
Okay, well, people who have early risers on the Hebsy on Sports YouTube channel, and we're glad to have you guys with us.
Fantastic. Thanks for being with us. And how are your balls? I have to ask.
Honestly, the Lawnmower 4.0 is my appliance of choice from manscaped.com. I use the promo code Hebsy. Save me 20%. I got free shipping. This thing's awesome. I told you, I'm going to bring it camping because you need a flashlight when you got to go to the washroom in the middle of the night. And this thing's got a great light on it, too. And it just,
you're
the battery
with the light on that thing. Not with how it makes you look.
Well, no, you know, nicks. Okay, feel. So straight up. No, I don't know. I'm hoping you'll share your experience after I share this. But like, no nicks or cuts. And all you're looking for in something that takes care of your, you know, your scrotum. See, I'm going to use doctor words right now, is you just south don't want any cuts. You don't want any danger. Go ahead.
South of the border. Below-the-waist grooming at its best. Manscaped.com. Take it from Toronto Mike. Not from me. What kind of credibility do I have? This man has four children.
Oh, well, okay. You're halfway there. And you have a lot of credibility, but we'll get to that later because we have a little buck talk to do later.
All right. So listen, folks. So do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Do Mike a favor. And the folks at Manscaped, because their products are fantastic. Go to manscaped.com. Put in the promo code Hebsy, H-E-B-S-Y, at checkout. You get 20% off and free shipping. Great products, great company. Do it.
And help the show. And now that we've got the Manscaped chat out of the way, I need to know, because when I see
get out of here.
I'm sorry. When I, you know, it's important because it helps you. You got to wet your whistle so you can keep doing this. We want to do another 245 episodes. We need some support.
God forbid.
Go ahead. Well, remember, it used to be a twice a week show. Do you remember that? Like, damn,
no,
lane?
I don't remember anything, like, Mike.
We're at half capacity now. Gene Velitis needs an Otis update. You got an Otis update for us?
Here's the update. Have not seen Otis this week. Wow. I've only heard stories that they're trying their absolute best to make him an indoor cat. When I walk by their place, all the windows are closed, are shut. All the blinds are shut. So I assume that they don't even want the cat looking outside to get the idea that there isn't outside. So it's been a very quiet week.
Interesting.
He doesn't wander around the neighborhood anymore. He's either on a leash or he's inside that home.
We need a like an Otis cam or something set up in his in the home so we could watch him online.
I can do that, I think.
Zoom
or at least
him.
I can get videos sent. How about that? But how does that work on a podcast?
Well, it doesn't work on a podcast, but you put it on your YouTube channel where people can see
me.
Anyways.
You're going to have to trust. I was thinking maybe I should go and get some old audio of Otis and play it, but nah. He's gone. And speaking of audio, listen to this. I found a bunch of cassette tapes.
Okay.
Stuff that I had, Leafs play-by-play, Argos play-by-play,
right.
Talk shows.
Wow.
Hanging up on people, trivia nights. When I did the Grand Prix and I did play-by-play of the Grand Prix. Whole bunch of baseball, whole bunch of stuff.
Do you have the means cassette. To digitize that? You have the...
Well, here's the thing. It's on cassette. I don't have a cassette player. Oh. But fortunately, a friend of mine had a friend that has a cassette player that I'm borrowing. And what I'm doing is I'm recording it onto my iPhone.
Like just through the external speaker?
Yeah, just through the speaker.
Okay, because someone who's listening probably has the cassette to MP3 hardware that you plug into your laptop, which would make it sound better.
Well, I'm not sure about that because the microphone on the phone is pretty darn good. If you put it next to the speaker, and remember, you're listening to old cassette tape, so you're not going to get beautiful digital quality.
Okay.
There's some oxidation on these tapes that are 30, 40 years old. Anyway, I'm dubbing them over now and listening to myself going, holy fuck, was I bad?
Are you noticing your voice was higher pitched?
No, that's not it. I'm just terribly critical of myself. So I had never heard myself doing the Leafs-Habs game that I did. Then Joe Bowen had a bad back.
Right.
Bob Stellick tapped me on the shoulder and said, Hebsy, you're doing the game tonight. I'm what? And Andy Frost is your color commentator. What? Okay. Leafs, Habs, Maple Leaf Gardens.
Wow.
You dream of that when you're a kid.
Right.
And right. You got 15 minutes to prepare. Joe can't make it. Bad back.
I got to hear this.
He's light up.
I got to hear this audio.
It's a good one. I have to tell you a story about a restaurant first before we get into the show.
Sure.
We found in our neighborhood, now that COVID is not over, certainly, but now that restaurants and other stores have opened up to indoor dining, we discovered a phenomenal Italian place in our neighborhood. So good. Inexpensive, oh. Excellent food. Oh. So I'm loath to mention the name because I don't want other people going there. I want to be able to, if I make
you'll
a reservation
have to tell me
or
in
walk
private,
by nearby. No, I'm not.
Not even
that
in private.
I can go in there. I've got a good relationship with the owner.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The chef. Mi compliment, chef. Well, I mean, you know when you give that chef's kiss, you know, like that. They love sure. that. Chefs wow. love that.
Wow.
They love that. So we're there with some friends, and our friend tells us the story of a restaurant near them, also an Italian restaurant up north, up in Thornhill up there, which is north of the city if you're not from here. And it's a pretty popular Italian restaurant, and they're there, and they're having their dinner, and the owner comes up to them. How is everything? And my friend's friend says, yeah, not so good. You know, the pizza's cold, and the pasta's a little too al dente. And the owner looks at them and says, well, that's terrible that you feel that way. If you don't like to eat here, maybe you should go eat somewhere else. And so my friends are like shocked. They cannot believe that the owner is asking for their opinion. Right. And then when he hears the truth, he wants them out of there. So I guess she says something to the effect of, you know, Paisano's is better. I can't remember the name of the restaurant they talked about. Paisano's is a better restaurant anyway. They make a better pizza. And the owner, they say, says, why don't you, and he's yelling.
Wow.
Why don't you then just go to Paisano's?
Wow.
Right? And kicks them out of the restaurant.
Wow.
Asks them to leave the restaurant. The owner of a restaurant asks them to leave. We can't believe this.
And he's the one who opened this door by asking how it was.
He says, how was your meal tonight?
Yeah, it's a little thin-skinned.
Says, well, you know, the pizza was a little cold, to be honest with you, right? We expected better.
Wow.
And so naturally, a smart owner would say, oh, I'm very sorry, but let me take that. Let me make that up to you. And in fact, if you're a regular customer, let me give you recovery plus one, which in the business world is, we're not only are we going to replace this, of course, that's our obligation, but we're going to give you a gift certificate for another visit or a free dessert.
Right.
Or something that's going to make you say, you know, they made a mistake, they rectified it, and they made us feel better. And so we're going to recommend this place to someone else. That's recovery plus one. Not only want to lose the customer,
right?
But you don't want that customer going and saying, you know, that place over there, piece of shit, the owner's an asshole, the pizza was cold. You don't want that.
Right.
You want them saying, you know what, we went there, the pizza wasn't that good, we complained. The owner was very nice, very understanding, apologized profusely, looked after the meal, gratis, gave us free dessert, whatever it was.
So where was this restaurant? Better. Is this in your neighborhood?
No, this is up in Thornhill.
Sorry. Yeah, I apologize.
These are friends of ours who were coming, came down to the city that told us about.
Okay,
so,
gotcha.
So it was a secondhand story, but still a good story.
No, that's an interesting reaction by an owner who asked how things were going. little thin-skinned for the owner
for
of a restaurant. Hey, before we get into the sports, and then again, after your Blue Jay chat, I want to talk about Buck for a moment. But I just want to say hi to Dale Cadeau, who wakes up very early in BC to watch us, much like Gene Vilaitis. Angela is here. Hello. And Daniel Finkler. And it's just great to have these fans of yours with us.
Especially good to have women.
Yeah. Angela, get your friends to join us.
Yeah.
Moose Grumpy
I'm
is also
interested
here.
In how the female reaction is when it comes to like... Our women, for example, say, hey, are you going to talk about women's sports? Because I think there's sort of this natural feeling that more women are interested in sports because of the advances women are making in sports. That may not be the case. I'm sure there are a lot of women that are like, I don't particularly like sports because it's women performing. I like sports.
Sure.
I like good competitive sports. It doesn't matter that it's women. If it is, great. But I'm not going to say I'm only going to watch women's sports. That's the only thing that interests me. And that's something that that appears to be the case with some women that I follow on Twitter, especially some women sports journalists or sportscasters who don't make as much noise about an event or a play in a men's game as they do in a women's game or a female competitor.
Probably because there's enough people making noise about the play in the men's game, right? Like there's enough noise about that they don't need.
I just think if you're a fan, you're a fan. If you love something, you go, that's awesome.
And by the way, speaking of women athletics, last week when we were recording, we were both a little distracted because the gold medal match was taking place while we recorded. And of course, after we finished recording, we got to watch
the whole thing, right? The extra time and the shootout.
Which was amazing. Like, what a moment to win gold. So
it was. So, and then the question became, you know, which of the three events in, you know, from Canadian standpoint was greater? Was it the women's gold? Was it the Damian Warner gold in the decathlon? I mean, you know, world's strongest man, world's best in shape man, greatest athlete, whatever you want to call
greatest
it.
Greatest athlete.
Or, of course, the 200 meter gold medal for Andre Degrasse, who also had bronze in the 100, who could legitimately be called the world's fastest man. I mean, we got three of them. Best soccer team.
Right. Right.
World's greatest athlete, decathlete.
Right.
And world's fastest man.
And I don't know if you heard, because we actually listened live to the Canadian men winning the bronze medal in the 4x100 meter relay. And then it turns out that's probably going to be turned into a silver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a
British
athlete.
Been a lot of cases where medals have been stripped for drug violations and other things. Well, for mostly
so
drug
there is
violations.
There's a guy on the British relay team who finished second who is
and he's going to be disqualified.
Right. Right. Right.
But unfortunately for the athlete at the time who got screwed. I mean, it's nice to know, okay, by the way, give us that bronze and we're sending you a silver or whatever. But there must be a terrible feeling, you know, like, you know, I raced against cheaters. No wonder I couldn't beat that person.
Right. I'm watching this Italian guy who won the gold medal in the 100. I want to see his test results.
Interesting. Eh? The Blue Jays could only manage a split in Anaheim to begin their 10-game road trip. They lost 6-3 last night, early this morning, to Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. The Jays remain in the wild card hunt, though, folks. Just a half game back of the Yankees, 2.5 back of the Red Sox, who own the final wild card spot. They're going to collapse, the Red Sox. They've got to. Last night, Jose Berríos was uncharacteristically wild and gave up 4 runs in the second, another in the third, and another in the fifth as the Angels broke it open early. Berríos lasted 4 1/3, took the loss, gave up 6 runs, 8 hits, 3 walks. Was not himself. With someone else. But that happens, you know, when you hit the West Coast and he was going so good. I mean, he had to have an off game. That's just the way it is. Meanwhile, the matchup between MVP candidates Ohtani and Vladdy Jr. never really materialized. Vladdy's been in a terrible slump lately, hitting and fielding. Ohtani started on the mound and batted leadoff, which still blows my mind.
I know.
It blows my mind. Even when he got pulled from the game, he stayed in the game. As the hitter, they didn't like pinch hit for him, right? It's amazing.
Right.
He went 1 for 3 at the plate with a walk and a double. He pitched 6 strong innings, allowed 2 runs on 3 hits and 3 walks. And Vladdy managed a ground single in his first at bat off Ohtani, but that was it. In the field, Vladdy has looked, what's his name from the Bad News Bears? Ahmad, when he first started. Shaky, can't catch the fly ball. Couple of pop-ups the last few days he's had troubles with. One he lost in the sun. Last night, I don't know, he took the wrong route to it. That's how they say it in the States. He took the wrong route. Here it's root.
Right.
Which can be confused as root, like a root vegetable. And there it's route, like, oh, the route is on. So it's just too weird to me. But anyway, he took a circuitous route.
Right.
To the ball. If you were from Philadelphia, you'd probably say it that way. That's terribly done. And at the plate, he's just having a terrible August. He's hitting less than 200. Post All-Star, he's been awful. Just awful. He was hitting like 335 at the All-Star break. He's hitting 311 now. And Charlie Montoyo even dropped him down to third in the batting order to take the pressure off him. Hasn't worked, though. But luckily, he has teammates. That's what the game's all about. But I have to tell you this. I'm a bit upset with Vladdy's attitude. Oh, he's all happy and joyous and laughing and giggling and fun-loving, jacket-wearing when he's hitting 335. But if he goes into a slump and he's down to 311, suddenly not such a happy guy. He's pouting a bit. When Teoscar Hernandez hit that grand slam the other night after Vladdy had failed, remember, Vladdy came up with one out.
Right.
And I think he popped out. And he was mad. which he's been a lot lately, and a sour look on his face. And now, here Teoscar hits the grand slam. Everybody comes out of the dugout. They're congratulating him, the whole deal. And Vladdy is sitting there and barely extends a hand to Teoscar for a, you know, a knuckle tap or whatever. Hmm. And I'm like, oh, come on, man. He just picked you up. He picked you up, man. You popped out with one out. You didn't drive the run in. He picked you up with a grand salami. You got to show him some love. You got to stop thinking about yourself. And then I thought, wait a minute. He's 22. He's 3 years younger than my son, who still does shit like that. He's 22.
Right.
Okay. Right. And he's never played a full 162 game shift, but this is the first time. And as much as it looks like he handles the pressure beautifully, of course, when you're hitting 335 and you're leading the league in homers and you're a triple crown candidate, of course you're having a good time. Having more fun than anybody. Folks, it's the dog days of summer. Get used to it. Okay? You're going to see some guys crack. You're going to see guys who are going to have to be benched, rested. It's not going to be easy at all. This is where guys like George Springer, a veteran player, Teoscar, who's got a couple years on him as well, Corey Dickerson, you know, Semien, of course, are going to pick up guys like Bo, who's hurt, and youngsters like Rhys McGuire and Alejandro Kirk and Vladdy and Kevin Biggio when he comes back off the IL and Santiago Espinal. You got to have the mix of veterans and youngsters. And it's the veterans that are going to help the youngsters through this. Berrios is a veteran pitcher. Okay, Robbie Ray's got some years on him. He knows what he's doing. Ryu, veteran. He's teaching. They're mentoring the young guys like Manoah, who's going to be a star, and the other guys. So just chill. But as far as Vladdy's concerned, man, it's 162 games, dude. He's hitting 311. He might finish the season hitting 290. It's possible. Drop another 20 points off his bat. Nothing wrong with 290 if you're knocking in 40 home runs plus and driving in over 100 runs.
KM.
But he's frustrated, and I get it.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you there. I know you're in the
you're
zone there. I am sorry. But KM on the YouTube channel is observing that maybe Vladdy's put on a couple of pounds. He's got a keener eye than I do, but he says it looks like he might have packed on some weight.
Yeah, and that's the reason for his
right.
slow bat now?
Well, maybe that's adding to the aggravation. Again, I'm just
here's what I think.
Quoting your fan.
I think that he... playing at the weight that he's been playing at doesn't have as much stamina as he thinks he has because of just the weight loss. I mean, when he had more bulk on him, he might be able to go through a summertime better off. Sometimes you need some meat on your bones. You know, I remember watching Doug Gilmore the year that he set the record with 127 points.
Yeah.
By the time they got to the final, he was like the human X-ray. I'm serious. He was 145 pounds.
Right.
Honest to God.
Right.
You could see his ribs sticking through.
Wow.
And over the course of the season, he had lost so much weight. And they're pumping everything possible into this guy, right? Supplements, doesn't matter. I'm telling you, when you work that hard and you're out there every day, it's going to take a toll on you. And you have to be as prepared as you are. You can never be prepared for that first full season. Dog days of summer, pressure on, team in a pennant race. Not a lot prepares you for that. And let's see how he comes out of it. Everybody comes out of it.
Right.
So the Jays are now off to Seattle, which could be like a home series. It could be turning the tables. Remember when they were in Dunedin and when they played the Red Sox and Yankees, there'd be all their fans would be there. Nobody from Tampa is a Jays fan. It's like playing a road game. Well, now they're going to Seattle. And I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure that you can get across the border from Canada into the United States, even though it's not non-essential. People are doing it.
I don't think
you can fly there. Yeah,
you can fly there. No, you can fly there, but you can't.
You can fly.
You know, they like to drive down, right?
Seattle,
I don't think
no
you can
problem.
Just drive down. I think that's the difference.
I don't know if you can drive down. Right. The same way, I don't know if we can drive down from.
Yeah, we can't.
From Toronto, we can't. It's got to be right. essential. You got to have a reason to go down. You got to be working or something.
Like they can come up here now if they're fully vaxxed.
Yeah.
But right. we can't go down there unless
but,
it's essential.
Trust me when I tell you this. Canadians will find a way to get to Seattle.
Hot air balloon?
Starting tonight. You can fly. I don't know what the flights are, but for a few hundred, you can get down there. Right?
For people
and you can
who
be
can
pretending
fly
to
down,
be
they can fly to Seattle.
Business. I'm sure there's lots of Canadians that have business down there that are allowed to go across the border. Come on.
Right.
You know, in the back seat, under a blanket, you hide a few people, a couple more in the trunk.
Well, Hazel May is going to
be down there. You're tailgating in Seattle.
Hazel May will be there. I just saw a comment here, but I'm going to let you wrap up the set up the Washington series, and then I've got some Blue Jays broadcasting questions for you.
Right. It's not a setup at all. They're playing Seattle. There's going to be hopefully thousands of Canadians there this weekend. And then they're going to Washington, D.C. They got a doubleheader there next Tuesday, a couple of seven inning games and another single game. And a 500 road trip is not going to be enough. 10 games. So a 5-5 road trip won't do it. It got to be better than that. You're running out of games. You got a chance to make some hay against lesser teams. Split against California, not good enough. Okay, I get it. You played Otani's great. We give him that one, but come on. Come on.
All right.
Got to win 2 out of 3 against Seattle, minimum.
Okay, so before I get to my my buck chat here, Global Agenda, that's the handle on your YouTube channel. This person says, we heard last night that Hazel May is going to be in Seattle this weekend to cover the Jays. Correct. Why won't the rest of the crew be in Seattle if they can fly Hazel in to cover the team? So I guess why not have the rest of the broadcast crew live in at the stadium in Seattle?
Yeah. Good question. We've been asking that since the beginning of the season, haven't we? No Ben Wagner. He stays in Toronto and calls the game off a monitor. Dan calls the game off a monitor in the Sportsnet studios. Buck calls the game off a monitor in Florida. Pat Tabler calls the game off a monitor in Ohio. Now, when they come back to Toronto, then it's interesting to see who's going to be, because you can broadcast from Toronto. So Ben Wagner will be there doing radio.
Yeah, but they won't mix and match. They won't mix and match. So like if it's, even though Dan could be at the dome, if Dan and Buck are calling the game, they'll have Dan do it off a screen.
No way.
Okay.
No chance. Okay. No chance. Dan will be in the booth. If he's he will be in the booth versus in the studio if the game's played in Toronto. But I don't know if Dan's doing any home games.
So why can't, since we know Pat Tabler can...
Did we not find out that, did Dan not say he's doing all the road games?
Yeah, you might be right on that. But what about Pat Tabler then? Why is it that they have Pat Tabler at home? They literally sent him home after that first series
because
in Toronto.
Because he's fully vaccinated and yeah. Buck isn't fully vaccinated.
I know. So why not have Tabby at the dome and then Buck at his home in Florida? Like, it sounds to me like they won't mix and match. Like, they either have them both remote or they're both in person, but they won't mix and match. That's how it sounds. Okay.
I know. It's wrong. Though. Come on. Because there have been many occasions where, and last night and the last couple of nights, I think Dan and Buck both had a situation where they weren't sure what was going on the field. They didn't. Something happened out of camera range that had they been there, they would have been able to see, you know, crane your neck. You know,
I don't think there's enough complaining.
60 degrees and you can't, you don't have that view.
This has been brought up also on your YouTube channel. I agree with it that there really isn't any outcry or outrage that these commenters are not at the games. I think most people figure it's COVID. We understand. And they're tolerating this. And because no one's complaining, why would Rogers spend the money? There's no complaint.
Here's the thing. Why would they spend the money to send Hazel May she was in Buffalo a few weeks ago. But to send her all the way to Seattle, is she going to anchor the broadcast from Seattle? Are Jamie and Joe going to do Baseball Central, throw to Hazel, who's in Seattle?
Right.
She's going to, will have done pregame interviews prior to their broadcast. She'll have recorded those for the most part. Be available on the field. Be the boots on the ground or high heels on the ground.
Pumps.
Okay. Pumps on the ground, right? Wedgies on the ground. At least be able to say, I mean, this would be interesting, right? Here's Dan in Toronto. Here's Buck in Florida. And they're both going, can't tell what's going on there. Hazel, can you see what's going on there? And at least she's there maybe in the dugout live and going, yes, Buck, the manager is, or the umpire said this, or there's a situation going on down the line,
right?
Which the TV cameras didn't pick up, which these two guys who are remotely calling the game don't pick up on their video feed. Is that a better thing to do?
Well, it's better than nobody being there.
I guess.
I think. And I think that's their thought too. But now I need to segue over to a truth bomb that you dropped last week that really made
a
lot of...
Why is this a truth bomb?
Okay, why you don't like bomb? That term? Well, because it's
why is it a bomb? Because nobody else. I came
you broke
up with
a you broke a significant story that everybody
come
else.
Come on,
has...
if you step back and think about it, the only reason Buck wouldn't be in Toronto is because he wasn't fully vaccinated.
Well, no, that's not. He could also
the only reason
he could also be unwilling to travel because it's he doesn't.
Someone would have said something.
Risk something. Okay,
somebody would have said something. He would have said something. Rogers would have said something. Why would they keep it secret? Come on,
look, Hebsy. I trust you fully. You've got
no, you don't, Mike.
Yeah, did you not read TorontoMike.com last Friday?
Sure?
No, I know. I
last, you asked me if I was sure. Have I ever gone on the air with something ever without checking?
But
my
here's
sources?
Why. Here's why. Last week's Hebsy on Sports, you were a little bit ambiguous with the fact you had a good inside.
So
source
says you.
On this.
We're trying to tease a show. We're trying to get listeners. We're trying to get eyeballs.
So.
It's called promoting something. It's teasing, Mike.
So
this this isn't a huge deal. It's like, oh my God, Buck Martinez is suffering from not wanting to be vaccinated. This isn't. We're saying, oh, by the way, this is all Buck's private thing going on. This is deduction. This is making a few phone calls. This is you didn't hear it from me, but here's the situation: Buck does not want to get vaccinated. He's not vaccinated, and that's the story. Do I want to call Rogers and say, hello, I'd like a comment from Rogers. Would you confirm or deny? Nah. My source is impeccable.
But that's what I just want to
clarify. And I'm not going to talk about this anymore.
No. We have to.
He's
because this
not
is the
vaccinated.
Audience.
Right. He's not planning on getting vaccinated. I doubt very seriously you're going to see him in Toronto.
I'm on your side here. Remember, as you know, I wrote about this on the weekend. I got a lot of flack for it, but I said, I trust Hebsy. I had
from
a
who?
From people who felt...
From anti-vaxxers.
Probably.
What, now, from the Buck Martinez fan club? Oh, right. he wouldn't possibly be an anti-vaxxer.
No,
it must be a medical problem, right, Mike? It's a medical problem. So why doesn't someone come out and say, you know, Buck is suffering from triskaidekaphobia and cannot travel?
That might be true.
And in the meantime, he's such a good broadcaster that we'll allow him to call the games from his home in Florida rather than being here in Toronto.
Well, they have made that decision. That is... They are allowing him to broadcast from home. Like they have accepted his.
Why is he not in California? What if he's in the United States? Can he not get on a plane and travel to California and call the games from there?
And that goes back to the whole Seattle question. Like why?
But he's a play-by-play guy too. He can call play-by-play from California, and Pat can go too.
Right.
This is what doesn't make any sense to me. Dan's in Canada. Call the games in Canada. Buck and Pat are in the States. Call the games in the States. Pat can come across the border. Let Pat come and do the games with Dan in Toronto because Buck won't.
Right.
But have some boots on the ground, for Christ's sakes. Can you imagine if this team ends up going to the playoffs? It's like, all right, let's go to California. There's nobody there. I'm going to speculate from Toronto or Florida what's going on the field. What's the feeling like in California? No fucking idea. Why not? We're not there. Let's ask Ben Wagner. No, he's not there either. What are you kidding me? What year is this? 1942? Recreating games? Come on, man. Seriously. This is just fucking embarrassing.
I respect that you don't want to talk about the Buck thing, but you dropped this thing. I need to pick it up and just clarify something for listeners.
This thing. I said it once. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Go ahead and prove me wrong.
I'm here.
If not, shut up and just let's move on. He isn't going to get vaccinated. He's not vaccinated. End of story.
And I'm here on your side, having written this up on the weekend and quoting you, and I'm here just to clarify for everybody, to be crystal clear, this is not, and I know this is the word I kept hearing, Hebsy's speculating. They use the S word. I'm here to say you're not speculating. You have done your due diligence, and you are presenting this as a fact you've learned.
Listen to the podcast from last week. Draw your own conclusions. I'm really getting tired of this, okay? I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true, if I didn't have it on good authority. It's not my style. I don't throw, run things up the flagpole to see who salutes them in that regard. I don't throw stuff out there and say, well, what do you think? I think, no, I'm telling you for a fact. Okay. Do I have to preface everything by saying a source tells me? Do you do that when you say something? A source told me that this restaurant on, where'd you get that information from? Source. That's what people want. Source. I'm not going to believe what you tell me. I need a source. Well, I'm the source. Am I not a good source? Have you gone to people and said, I listened to Hebsy. He's full of shit. He said this, that didn't happen. He said, how about this? Hebsy said, Michael Brantley is going to get traded from the Houston Astros to the Blue Jays, just like George Springer. Book it.
Oh, I know that.
Okay. And then after it proved not to be true, don't apologize. Right. Don't. Hope people will forget about it.
Delete the tweet.
So that next time you post something, people are going to go, oh, I trust that person. Because that person was the one that said Michael Brantley for sure was being traded to Houston or from Houston to Toronto. No, I never did anything like that. Never once. Go ahead. Go look back. Now, this Field of Dreams thing. Holy cow. Did they milk this for what it was worth? Major League Baseball, Fox? Holy cow. If you build it, they will come. Look, folks, Field of Dreams, the movie, was an adaptation of a fantastic book by Canadian W.P. Kinsella. The book was called Shoeless Joe. If you haven't read the book, go read it and then tell me, okay, that the movie's better than the book or that the movie was a great baseball movie. The original title of the book by Kinsella was The Dream Field. And it was about Shoeless Joe Jackson, you know, Black Sox scandal, you know, was kicked out of baseball because he was thought to have gambled and bet on the Chicago White Sox, against the Chicago White Sox to lose the World Series to the Cincinnati Reds. So Shoeless Joe is a mythical figure. And in the book, which is called Shoeless Joe, he goes over this story of an Iowa farmer who hears voices and relationship with his father and his father, and they wanted Shoeless Joe Jackson to be exonerated, you know, and bring him back to life. And if you build this field, then Shoeless Joe will come back and the Black Sox will come back and they will be exonerated. And Major League Baseball won't remember them as, you know, bad guys, eight men out, the whole story. So they take the movie Field of Dreams and they give it a big, big budget and Kevin Costner and all that. In 1989, they make this movie and people cried. James Earl Jones, they cried, and Burt Lancaster, they cried, and If You Build It, They Will Come, and Ease His Pain, and all that stuff. Now, I watched the movie, and it was okay, but is it a baseball movie? Nah, not really. It's kind of a sappy, you know, fantasy. I mean, he drives to Boston to look for Terrence Mann, who's really J.D. Salinger,
right.
But they couldn't use J.D. Salinger because he threatened to sue the shit out of them. A very litigious person was J.D. Salinger. But that whole thing where he's trying to break into his apartment and then does break in and pretends he has a gun and all that. Okay. It was sappy. The Burt Lancaster stuff with Moonlight Graham was sappy. And the fact that, you know, the uncle knocks the kid off of the top of the bleachers. Oh, sorry about that.
Well, wasn't she choking on a hot dog? She was choking on a hot dog.
But right. I mean, all this stuff. Where, you know, it's invisible and all that, it was corny. I hate to use the word. It was corny.
No pun intended.
So I don't rate it as one of the best baseball movies. I just don't. But Major League Baseball decided, hey, this is a perfect thing. Let's bring Costner back. Let's build an actual field in Iowa. Let's fast forward 32 years from the movie. And let's have the White Sox and Yankees play. Now, that was supposed to be last year, but 2020, of course, as we know what happened with COVID. So they had it this year. And they wore throwback uniforms. And they came out of the cornfield like in the movie. Okay, and played in front of 8,000 fans and a national TV audience on Fox and drones all over the place with beautiful views. It was gorgeous. It was really beautifully presented, like a Las Vegas show. And then it was a baseball game like any other baseball game, except the Yankees scored 4 runs in the top of the ninth to take the lead on 2 home runs by Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. And the White Sox win it in the bottom of the ninth on a walk-off home run by Tim Anderson, who had never seen the movie Field of Dreams and isn't planning on seeing it.
Hebsy, man. Let me just defend this movie for a moment. I always, when I hear somebody, you know, call it schmaltzy, it's almost like you don't want to let it into your, like, let it seep into your heart. Like, you don't want to let it get to you emotionally. Because when let me just speak about Field of Dreams
for
a moment.
You drank the Kool-Aid.
Maybe I drank the Kool-Aid, but it sure tasted good, buddy. I got to say, I've seen that movie, I don't know, probably 20 times in my life.
Oh, my God. And you're sick, man.
On the 20th time, when Kevin Costner's character's father asks him to play catch, and even now as I speak, I think I'm welling up, actually. I cry every single time he says, want to catch, and they play catch. Every single time.
No, he says, want to have a catch.
Right.
Which I've never heard anyone say. Let's play catch.
It just works,
I've never
man.
Heard anyone say, want to have a catch ever.
If that's
never want to have a catch. No,
Also, so not, the Moonlight Graham stuff is beautiful.
You've seen it 20 times. I saw it once. Okay. Okay. We're obviously at odds.
It obviously, maybe you were in a bad mood when you saw it.
It was the second best baseball movie of 1989. It wasn't even the best baseball movie of 1989. Major League.
Okay, I do want to hear. I do want to hear your list of baseball movies that you would watch again. But I just want to say, most. I mean, I talked to Cam Gordon about this last night. Most of us get a great feeling from watching Field of Dreams because, yeah, it's a bit magical and maybe it's even a bit corny, but it is a baseball movie and it is beautiful and it's very rewatchable. And I got to say, shout out to Moonlight Graham. He has to get home before his wife thinks he's got a girlfriend. And that's the last role Burt Lancaster ever had, and it was perfect.
He didn't want to go. He didn't want to play the role. He hated the role.
Oh, hated well, it. I don't know if he hated the role or not.
He didn't want to play that role.
I don't
the
care.
A friend of his who was a baseball fan said, you got to play this role.
Well, I don't care if he enjoyed playing the role. He was perfect. And again, I love...
The Schmaltzy movie.
Mike, I love Field of Dreams.
Explain to me how it's a baseball movie. Was there any baseball action, really? There's a bit, but...
Well, okay, well, it's not all about baseball.
Well, that to me is a baseball movie.
It's still a baseball movie.
I'll give you an example, Mike. A League of Their Own. Is there baseball being played?
Yeah. Well, there's a baseball game going on, sure.
It's a right. It's about a
they wouldn't let Ty Cobb play.
And you watch baseball games. This movie is nice. It's fantasy. The guys come out of the cornfield. They play for a little bit. They go back in the cornfield. Then when they go for the final time, they ask Terrence Mann if he wants to come with them. They don't ask Roy Kinsella if he wants to come. He's pissed.
Right.
Yeah, fucking stupid movie. Anyway,
so you only saw it once, though. You only saw it once before we get your good list. You only saw it once, right?
I only wanted to see it once because it was boring.
But is it
okay?
Possible.
It was tripe. It was not a great movie, period. Okay. It was an okay movie, and it was not a good baseball movie.
Is it possible, though, that you were having a bad day when you saw it? Is that possible?
No, Mike, okay. I get it. I read the book.
All right.
I read the book 3 times.
All right.
Saw the movie once.
Okay.
Here's the baseball movies I will watch again. In other words, if I'm flipping channels, they come on television. Whatever I'm doing, I stop and I watch the rest of the movie. Ready? Major League. Every time. Makes me fucking laugh.
Because that's not corny or schmaltzy at all. No,
it's not at all. It's fucking funny. It's funny. Okay?
I've seen that about 15 times myself, but go ahead.
You're right. 50 times. Okay. Bull Durham.
Love it.
A League of Their Own.
Okay. It's a good movie.
The Sandlot.
Okay.
Mike?
It's okay. I saw it once, and I didn't feel an urge to see it a second time. But I felt I was a bit old for it.
You didn't dig those kids playing ball. Right. Come on. Really?
All right. Okay. There's a chubby kid in there, I remember. I don't remember too much.
Eight Men Out.
So that's your go-to, that's your Shoeless Joe movie of choice. Right?
I'm sorry?
That's your Shoeless Joe Jackson movie of choice, Eight Men Out. Which is
well,
probably
not a Shoeless Joe Jackson movie.
No.
I mean, he's one of the eight guys.
Okay, well, okay, right. Okay.
Do you know Black who played Sox Shoeless Scandal. Joe Jackson in that movie?
Cusack.
D.B. Sweeney.
Okay, D.B. Sweeney.
So I'm not going to ask any more questions. That's
I can't remember it.
The Natural.
I love The Natural.
Based on a book by Bernard Malamud.
The also Bad News a little Bears. Corny, but a little corny, by the way, The Natural, sort of in the
well,
same way.
Well, but the thing is, the way it was set up, yeah.
Like, I loved it,
Let's, Mike. Yeah. Mike, the difference between that is, if in the movie Field of Dreams, he hits a home run into the cornfield, right?
Right.
And the ear of corn that he hits becomes a bar of gold and flies through. You know what I mean? Then I could have dug that fantasy part, but obviously in The Natural, when he hits the home run and the ball comes undone and, you know,
and it works
explodes,
for me, man.
And it hits the lights and the lights go crazy and all that.
Yeah, I love it.
Right. The Bad News Bears, the original 1976, Walter Matthau was sensational. All right. What's her name? Tatum O'Neill. Great. Right. I love that movie. Rookie of the Year.
Of course.
Was
yeah.
a great flick.
Rowan,
the kid breaks his arm and suddenly his new arm, he can throw the ball
but
past
wait a
everybody.
Minute.
Gary Busey is fabulous. Daniel Stern is
no,
fabulous.
I liked it.
The movie's great.
I liked it. But that's a better movie to you than Field of Dreams?
Yep.
All right. I give up.
Okay. Moneyball.
That's a good movie.
Okay. Lost Son of Havana. Which I threw in there because, and another movie called Sugar, which are more documentaries.
Okay.
So maybe they don't fall into that scheme. But anyway, that's a whole bunch. And it's Let's Play Catch, not Let's Have a Catch. And that's it for that. Those are the movies.
Well, I'm glad we got set the record straight. But you do know they're going to have more Field of Dream games because the audience watching was enormous.
No, they're not. That's it. It's a one-off. Next time it'll be a Major League. Next time it'll be something else. Hey, I got news for you. If Major League Baseball was really smart, Mike, they would have taken these games and all the money they spent, and they would have gone to places that really love baseball, like the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Mexico. Make it more international. All right. If you're going to have a one-off game, do it, you know, like the NHL does with the Winter Classic, which is great. Although right. there's too many Winter Classics now.
Because it makes money.
Go find a venue that's not normally a baseball venue, or go find an old venue that you reconstruct, like Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, or I don't know, the Polo Grounds or Exhibition Stadium in Toronto, for all I care. I don't know. But I like the idea, the principle of the idea of taking a game and putting it somewhere where they don't normally play. Now to tennis. Okay. And it's the big week for the tournament formerly known as the Rogers Cup, but now referred to as the National Bank Open. The men are playing at the Aviva Center in Toronto. The women are performing at the IGA Stadium in Montreal. Now, this was supposed to be a showcase for Canadian talent, especially Bianca Andreescu, Denis Shapovalov, and Felix Auger-Aliassime. After all, home court advantage can be a huge difference, or it can be a curse, as the players do want to perform at their best in front of family, friends, and supporters. So there's a bit more pressure there. But when you've got the crowd support, come on. So what the fuck happened last night in Montreal? Now, this is after Shapo and Felix failed in their opening matches in Toronto. So they're out. And now it's up to Bianca now. And she beats a qualifier in her first match in three sets, thanks to the crowd, who, if it wasn't for their urging, their influence behind Bianca against this woman from Great Britain, I can't remember her name now, a qualifier that led her to the third set and victory. And you should have seen Bianca urging the crowd on. Let's go. Let's go. It was fabulous. She was like a conductor. Okay. She was. She basically said to the crowd, get the fuck up and make some noise. Let's go. Got them all riled up because on their own, they're all sitting on their hands. Tennis fans. Because that's what happens when you're in a tennis court in North America. Especially in Canada. Ooh, let's be quiet. Sit on our hands.
Right.
And you're anywhere else, they're screaming and fucking yelling. Aha, let's go. Trying to disrupt the other one. So what happens in Montreal when Bianca Andreescu takes on a 26-year-old named Ons Jabeur from Tunisia? Now, I'll tell you right now, Mike, you tell me where Tunisia is. Nobody knows where fucking Tunisia is. Tunisia? And guess what? There's a few dozen fans, maybe 100 fans, waving Tunisian flags inside the IGA Stadium in Montreal, Province du Québec, Canada. While there's 5 or 6 Canadian flags, people a little waving, waiting for Bianca to win a point before they start cheering. Not urging her on against this interloper from Tunisia, Ons Jabeur, who beats Bianca 6-7, 6-4, 6-1. In front of the liveliest crowd I've heard in a long time, but all of them were Tunisians. Disrupting Bianca's game, cheering when she double faulted, cheering when she hit the ball into the net, screaming when she's tossing up her serve, much to the chagrin of yours truly and others, but not the people in Montreal sitting there. What do? They looked over and stared at them, didn't do anything about it.
What do you want them to do? Like,
I want them to shut the fuck up, because I got news for you. Canadian fans wouldn't do that. And they didn't do that. They didn't yell and scream when the girl from Tunisia or any opponent of Bianca's throws a ball up. We're way too nice. I don't care where your family comes from. If you're in Canada, you cannot cheer against the Canadian in Canada.
Hebsy.
You can't do it. You can't cheer if Bianca hits the ball into the net. You can't cheer if Bianca double faults. And if you do, and I'm in the stands, I'm coming after you.
Wow.
I'm appalled at these fans in Montreal who sat there on their fucking hands while these Tunisians, who I assume are living in Canada.
Sure.
And enjoying the fruits of, you know, of being Canadian, the freedoms here, disrupted play, were constantly warned by the umpire to be quiet, yet continued to shout while Bianca was trying to serve. That's not why she lost the match. But I tell you what, it certainly didn't help. She must have thought, I'm playing in a foreign land. I honestly thought the match was being played in Tunis rather than in Montreal. What happened to home court advantage? You know, Mike, I remember the World Basketball Championships one year at Maple Leaf Gardens. Canada against Greece. And the Greek fans drowned out the Canadians.
Sure.
It was disgusting. I looked at the guys beside me. Where are you guys from? We're from Greektown in Toronto. We're on the Danforth on Chester Avenue. What the fuck are you doing cheering for Greece? or that's our homeland. No, you're from Canada, born and raised.
Wow.
You're cheering against Canada.
Wow.
Do you realize that by cheering for Greece, you want Canada to fail? The country you live in and pay taxes in, you want us to lose. Get the fuck out.
Hebsy, you know the freedoms you just talked about that these people have come to Canada for? That's one of the freedoms. Freedom to cheer against Canada.
Not disrupt and disobey the rules.
Okay.
That's not one of the freedoms. Just because you paid for a ticket doesn't mean you can disrupt. Okay?
No, but you sure don't have to. You can sure, if you wish, you can cheer for the
fuck up.
The opposition. You don't have to cheer for Canada.
You can cheer when your player hits a winning shot. But to me, that's the same as cheering for somebody to fucking miss a free throw or cheering for someone to fail.
Which we do every single free throw when the opposition takes a free throw. We do that.
This is Canada. If she was playing anybody else, go have at it.
Wow.
You're playing a Canadian in Canada.
Wow.
You don't like it?
You're tough.
Man, just shut up.
You got lots of rules.
Don't disrupt the Canadians. And for all the Canadian fans that sat there and watched it, shame on all of you. You should have said something. You should have out-cheered them. Instead of waiting for Bianca to win a point, you should have urged her on to victory. Instead, you sat in your fucking hands. So the women's quarters are set for today. No Bianca. Sabalenka, Azarenka, followed by Pliskova and Sotirbe Stormo, followed by Georgie and Coco Gauff. And in the final match, it's Jabeur against Jessica Pegula. And on the men's side, and I'm going tonight, and there's no Canadian involved, so I don't have any skin in the game for me. There's no Canadian flag to fly. You know, there's no let's sing O Canada, and we're all excited to be Canadians, and we're still, you know, basking in the glory of those gold medals at the Olympics and hearing O Canada played. We've got Rudd against Tsitsipas, Bautista Agut against Opelka, Topsy Daniel Medvedev against Hurkacz, and Isner against Monfils. I'll be there tonight. Come over and say hello.
Enjoy, buddy.
And thanks to one of our listeners, Ken Crossing of Mayfair Clubs. He's the PA announcer at the Toronto event. Oh. And thanks to him, I'm going to my first live sporting event in almost 2 years, Mike.
Good for you, man. Report back next week and let us know how this went.
By the way, Sportsnet, you blew it, guys. By having the Monfils TFO match yesterday in front of no fans on an empty grandstand court, are you telling me Sportsnet couldn't have some influence with Tennis Canada to say, look, Monfils TFO is going to be a good match. TFO just knocked off Shapovalov. Everybody loves Monfils. They're playing in front of nobody. Only television cameras and ball boys and ball girls. What a shame. Grandstand court. Come on, man.
One quick
nobody
note.
Got a chance to see it live.
About Tunisia real quick. The one thing I know about Tunisia is that is where they filmed a lot of the desert scenes from Star Wars. That's what I know about Tunisia.
Right. And one more thing.
Okay.
I'm sick and tired of seeing shots of fans in the stands at tennis matches, unless they're famous people. I don't want to see, you know, two average, ordinary people watching and cheering or whatever. Show me the players. Because whenever they do that, they have to cut back and go, oh, while we were away, this is what Bianca did. Why don't you just stay on the players? Stay on them. Go back from one player to the other player. I'm really interested, especially in tennis, is seeing as much of the competitors as possible and as little of the crowd. But this crowd cutaway shot, this, like every producer and director, okay, let's say the crowd. Okay, back to the performer. No, stay with the performer. Unless you've got something great in the crowd.
Or it's a coach or something, right?
No, I don't want to see the coach anyway, because they keep going back to the coach. That's the other one. Coach looks the same. Okay, and cutaway means it should be brief. Quick cutaway, back to it. And that's only if you've got something to cut to. Or there's a reason, because one of the tennis players is sticking their finger up their nose. Okay, cut away. That's why. Cut away. We don't want to see her with a finger up her nose.
Now, real quickly before we get to golf here, just for the record here, because I listened to you talk about Andreescu there and what happened. You're saying you would like to legislate that if you buy a ticket to watch a Canadian versus a non-Canadian, you are not allowed to root against the Canadian. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all, Mike. No, here's what I want. I want everyone to know that if they buy a ticket, okay, and they feel they want to cheer against
Canada,
the Canadian
right
entry or Canadian team, that they do so at their own risk.
So you could be punched in the nose? Is that the deal?
No, not punched in the nose. Maybe shouted down.
Oh, sure. Okay? That's always a part of the deal, right?
But
that's like
nobody
the social
did it
contract.
In Montreal.
Well, okay. Well, guess because you weren't there.
That's right. Fucking right. Okay. So wise up, Montreal. All right. I played golf at Crosswinds yesterday. Yeah. I'm playing there again on Sunday. For some reason, when I book Crosswinds, even if there's like 100% rain in the forecast, it doesn't rain when I'm there. Only once this year did we get rained out, and that was only of 9 holes. And that was a storm that nobody expected. That was one where even the forecasters said, no, it's going to be clear. And it came out of nowhere. Wow. So naturally, when I play Sunday, the weather is going to be beautiful at Crosswinds. It always is. The views are spectacular. You know, I don't have to tell you, man. There's beautiful Rattlesnake Point over there.
And beautiful pictures you've been sharing from Crosswinds. I love checking in on your photos.
Yeah, the views are beautiful. And I do. I post it because it's lovely out there.
And you love that course. You're a great ambassador for Crosswinds.
Thank you. Crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online now and tell them Hebsy sent you. Now, in golf in the PGA Tour, getting down to the nitty-gritty here. It's the Wyndham Championship this week on the tour. And the scramble is on for the top 125 spots, which puts one into the FedEx Cup. And you can win millions. Ricky Fowler, who has never missed the FedEx Cup in all his years, needs to finish no worse than 21st this week in order to get into the top 125. Currently, Ricky is tied for 126th in the field this week. He's at even par. He's got to get it going. The leader is Russell Henley, who carded at 8-under 64. Adam Hadwin, the BC native, second after a 7-under 65. He's ranked 112th in the FedEx Cup, so he's okay. Nick Taylor's at 5-under par. He's 149th in the FedEx Cup standings. He's got to get going. Michael Gligic of Burlington, who I'm sure has played at Crosswinds, is at 5-under par, and he's 142nd in the standings. So giddy up, Gligic. I always want to say like Pat Gillick. It's like Gillick, Gligic.
Shout out to Stan Pat.
There you go. Mackenzie Hughes is at even par, but he's 64th in the FedEx, so he's more than okay. Roger Sloan is at 1 over. He's got a way to go, currently 131st in the FedEx. And Corey Connors not in the field this week because he's safe. He's 27th in the rankings.
Roger Sloan, again, that's a soap opera actor name.
A great name.
Roger Sloan.
It's a private eye.
Or a madman, like maybe like someone in Mad Men or something. Yeah.
The federal government has made it legal now to gamble on individual sporting events, bringing legitimacy to a murky industry on which Canadians already spend billions of dollars a year. I had no idea how much money Canadians spend on gambling.
Well, I think it's all Peter Gross. Like it's all, most of it's Peter
Gross.
Most of it.
The news does not open up the floodgates. The federal law, which will be enforced 2 weeks from today, August 27th, merely allows provinces to regulate sports betting as they see fit. Mike, the deal here was you could bet on sports in Ontario, Alberta, some other provinces, but you couldn't bet on single games. It had to be a parlay of a minimum of 3 teams. But now you can bet on single games. You can bet on any sports. You can bet on tennis. You can pick the tennis match starting in 2 weeks, regulated by the provinces, billions of dollars going into the coffers of the provinces through taxes because of this legislation.
Hebsy. You could bet heavily on against Andreescu and then show up and then boo her and distract her by rooting for the Tunisian and distracting her when she's trying to serve and stuff and influence the outcome of that match and then cash in big time.
You could. Yeah. But as you know, Mike, the ability to bet on a single game will raise the level of speculation as to whether the event is on the up and up. And the fewer numbers of competitors you have in a sporting event that can be bet on, the easier it is to fix.
Sure.
You know that Bianca's got a bad toe. You know that she's injury prone. She's favored to win against some girl from Tunisia, but you know that the Tunisians are going to come out in full force. And you're one of them, and you're betting against Bianca. You got some inside information. You're going to bring your flags, and you're going to fucking make noise. And if you get kicked out, so what? But you're going to distract Bianca. Because you know that your girl is just as good. She's in better shape. She's match ready. And she's going to get a boost from these Tunisian fans. So you go and recruit people who aren't even from Tunisia, but look like they might be from Tunisia. Hmm. You give them a couple of bucks. You buy them tickets. You say, come on in. We're rooting for her. We're rooting against her. Got it? Got it.
There should be a law. You're not allowed. And I'm stealing this from KM and YouTube, but there should be a law. You're not allowed to bet against Canadians.
I just don't. I'm Canadian and I'm proud of it. I don't like seeing a Canadian someone rooting against a Canadian in Canada against someone who's not a Canadian.
But that's what's beautiful
about
people Canada.
Whose ancestors might be from that country, but they're in Canada now. Look, if these Tunisians were all visiting from Tunis, if they all had flown to Canada for some reason and gotten through, that's different. They're from Tunisia. They're going back to Tunisia. But these people are still living in Montreal.
I know.
And circulating amongst Montrealers boasting about their Tunisian who beat a Canadian.
I think that's the beauty of this country, this cultural mosaic.
We're too nice.
No, we totally are like all in on your ancestry and roots.
We're not
and
all
we're
in
all good
on Bianca Andreescu. We should be. She's Canadian. She's our darling.
Okay.
What happened?
I root for Bianca. I root for Bianca.
Right. As do I. Two more things. Number one. If I said this word, if you're the mascot of the Colorado Rockies and I want to get your attention and I go, Dinger! Dinger! And the next day or later that day or during, somebody goes, did I just hear somebody yell the N-word in front of 35,000 people twice? And then all of a sudden, all the private investigators on social media now go to their video feeds and listen to it back and again and again. Yes, he said that was the N-word. And then we call on the Colorado Rockies for an investigation. And we chastise whoever that was. And why didn't somebody accost that person? Talk to that. How could they let that person do that? And then one person went, wait a minute. I was at the game and I'm pretty sure that guy who was sitting behind home plate was yelling for the mascot named Dinger.
Right.
But it was too late by then. That whoever that was, that person was,
right,
had already been contacted by the authorities.
Wow.
Had to make a statement.
Wow.
Is it true that you said the N-word? No. They had to go over the tapes like it was the fucking Zapruder film, frame by frame.
Right.
But wait a minute, that guy's yelling at the mascot whose name is Dinger. Is it possible if you were to yell Dinger
with a hard G,
with the emphasis on the certain syllable,
Dinger,
could it come out as the N-word? Let's listen 1,500 times. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Now, if I said to you that he's not saying that word, but the word is Dinger. Now listen again. Mm-hmm. Tell me if you hear Dinger.
Mm-hmm. Dinger! Dinger!
Of course.
Right, of course.
But by this time, luckily the guy wasn't named. Can you imagine if they would have identified this guy as the Steve Bartman of
or
Denver?
No, you know what? It's more like the Atlanta bombing in 96 at the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Accused the wrong guy.
Right, right, right. And Dinger, which is how he says a Dinger, if you build it, they will come. If you want to hear it, you'll hear it.
Of course. So that's one. The other one was Goran Dragic, upon finding out that he was going to Toronto in the Kyle Lowry sign and trade, was quoted on Slovenian television as saying something to the effect of, Toronto, they got nothing going there. I'm not interested in going to Toronto. Now, anytime somebody says something negative against your hometown, you should be upset to an extent, like you should have been upset when somebody was giving it to Bianca Andreescu. But forget about that. In this case here, this is what you heard. He's dissing Toronto? Fuck him. Fuck Goran Dragic. And once this got back to Dragic, that it was misinterpreted, he immediately came out. No, actually, he didn't. Sorry. Michael Grange got in touch with Goran Dragic and said, this is the way it's appearing here. Is this what you meant to say? Offering him an excellent opportunity to set the record straight and then come out with a quote and say that he apologizes if there was any misinterpretation. He certainly didn't mean it that way. Toronto's a wonderful city. It's an excellent organization, you know, championship team from a couple, blah, 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 mm-hmm. And all was good. But again, initially when people saw it, they went, that Goran Dragic, screw him. You've got to let it bake a while. You've got to step back and not take a knee-jerk reaction. And the mob mentality of social media is dangerous.
Sure.
You've got to be an independent thinker.
Sure.
And that's why I say, just because someone says something doesn't mean it's true. check the source. And if the source is a good source,
right,
strong, impeccable source, mm-hmm. and you trust that person or that agency, then believe them. And if you don't, then go and do your own research and prove them wrong. And so in this case with Goran Dragic, Michael Grange decided, well, I don't believe Goran Dragic meant that. I'd like to get a quote from him for context. And he did. He provided the context. And that's a good journalist. Right. So Dragic is okay in my books now.
Right. Now, right? That's interesting. And now the comment from Jason here on your YouTube channel is regarding the sports betting. And I think that's interesting too. Like, let's say Michael Grange has inside information from his sources about a Raptor or something's health or something that's not public. Like, what if Michael Grange puts a bunch of money against the Raptors with this inside info he has as a journalist? Right. And I'm using him as an example just because you mentioned him, obviously. Right. But what do you think of that?
But you say inside information.
Yeah.
Has that information been revealed to the public?
No.
That this guy has an injury?
No.
Is Michael getting his bet down before it becomes public so he gets better odds on this?
Correct, Amundo.
And we're only using Michael Grange.
Any journalist.
Any inside information.
We have no information Grange would do such a
thing. It could
be the
trainer. What if the trainer's like, this guy's out?
Well, yeah. So Jason Murdoch on your YouTube channel is basically asking, what do you think about sports journalists using inside information from sources to make bets?
Happens all the time. It's been happening for years and years and years and years. That's the beauty of inside information. You think you've got some? Go make a bet.
Now, and also there's a
quite simple,
there's a birthday request. So I think we should fulfill it here. Philip has a birthday here. So happy birthday, Philip. He wants to know, if possible, could you share your take on the Jack Eichel situation in Buffalo if you have time? So that's a birthday request. That's why I'm bringing it up at the end of the show.
The Jack Eichel situation in Buffalo?
Correct.
No, not interested in Jack Eichel.
Not even for his birthday.
The Sabres.
Not
Leafs,
even for his
I'm
birthday.
Interested.
Right.
But no, I'm not. I'm sorry. And Jack Eichel deserves to play somewhere else. His run in Buffalo is done. All right. I got to go. That's it for episode 245 of Hebsy on Sports. Not that I got to go, but I got to go. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Thanks to Crosswinds Golf and Country Club for their continuing sponsorship. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. And for Toronto Mike and his outstanding podcast, torontomike.com. And he's also got a blog too.
TorontoMike.com, where I write about the Buck Martinez vaccination controversy with an excellent source
what
named Mark Hebscher.
Again,
no,
where is the controversy?
The controversy
Who is saying that Buck Martinez is vaccinated? Who is saying that?
The controversy is that he can't call games from the dome because we don't let Americans cross the border unless they're fully vaccinated. That's the controversy.
Okay. That's Toronto Mike, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online. And also thanks to manscaped.com. Order their fantastic products, including the Lawnmower 4.0. Go to manscaped.com and put in the promo code Hebsy for 20% off and free shipping. Let us wet our whistle. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. Back with another episode next week. Until then, so long for now. This podcast has been produced by TMDS and accelerated by Rome Phone. Rome Phone brings you the most reliable virtual phone service to run your business and protect your home number from unwanted calls. Visit romephone.ca to get started.